Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero, along with
Stardust.
Yes, Stardust. Oh, yeah, Stardust is a great thing actually, but it's also a bad thing. But we'll get to that eventually. But it's a thing, you know.
Everything with WWE these days? I feel like everything's just here's the good and here's the bad. And
yeah,
you have
I feel
the
like
facts of life, and you also have a WWE angle where they can't get something that doesn't involve the Shield 100% right.
Yeah, well, what I think it is I don't know if it's maybe just us or I don't know, but what I think is I really think that there's just, it's just a power struggle backstage, I think, where it's just, you know, where someone throws out a good idea and then someone else has to screw it up. And that man may be Kevin Dunn, but he can't just be the only one.
I think that man is Kevin Dunn, and that's why we may be losing funding to NXT, and I want to stab him.
First off, no. He isn't why we're losing funding to NXT.
No, it's him.
That whole network thing. Is,
okay,
let's
fine.
Not make it's, him into the next...
It's either him or Seth Rollins, and you have to give
say,
me one of them.
I was about to say, let's not make him into the next Seth Rollins. I'd rather choose Seth Rollins because his theme was so expensive to make that they can't fund NXT anymore.
So it's Seth Rollins' fault that NXT is going to be losing funding?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay.
Actually, it's weird because I don't want to pull a Vince McMahon, but I want to say that WWE is to blame for WWE. Because here's the thing. I know Kevin Dunn is in WWE, so we can blame him as well, but I blame them because they bloated themselves up for a very long time. You know, where I think that there were certain people that I thought, why are you still here? You know, you're giving yourselves a bit too many people. I mean, you know, why are you, like, having so many people that you can have people that exclusively work house shows at this point, honestly? I mean, before this roster, you know, this cut, they have enough people that could serve as if main event would be its own roster, you know, as if its own, you know, little mini one-hour, you know, just group of people. Just, oh, well, we don't have enough room. Let's put them on main event. Let's forget that they exist on the main roster. They could have done that. That's a problem. So I'm not saying I don't blame Kevin Dunn or Seth Rollins. What I'm saying, though, is that I do believe that WWE is partially to blame for giving themselves so many people that, you know, I mean, it's not even as if there was a nice bubble, a nice pop in the last few years. It's still been pretty, you know, nothing will ever be like the Attitude Era in terms of their, you know, how much money they're getting in. So they bloated themselves up, and now they're paying for it.
I think for me, my two cents on the matter there is just simply put, if you're trying to build a dynasty, you know, building off the future and this kind of stuff, the last thing you want to do is take away funding from your minor leagues.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's just such an idiotic decision to sit there and think, we're building for the future, so let's take away money from the minor leagues.
Well, if they're smart, they're just going to take away some jobbers or possibly some people that we haven't even seen yet that maybe weren't, you know, because, I mean, people get cut that we've had NXT cuts. The thing is that, you know, cuts as in, you know, of people on the roster, it's just that we haven't actually seen them. It's main roster cuts that were new that, you know, that haven't happened in a long time. But I think we've had this year a few NXT cuts because obviously they're not, I mean, they want to give these people opportunities, but if they're not performing and they're not on the level of you're actually being shown on television yet, you know, they're only in the, because I don't know if any of you know, NXT is actually a two-hour show that we only see the last hour of. So the first hour is mostly dark matches that will, you know, those people, when they're good enough, will be called up onto the hour and eventually called up onto the roster. So there have been people that have been cut that were on that, you know, were in the kind of dark match stage of NXT. So, I mean, maybe we'll just have a few more of those. I agree, though. It's really bad. But I don't think they're going to be cutting the Sami Zayns. You know, that would be, if that happened, mind you, I would jump ship. We're done. You
all
know,
they
I
need
mean,
to do is just cut half the Exotic Express and then take some of the main roster guys and put them on the Exotic Express, in my opinion. I think that would save you some shit.
Honestly, I think it may even be less expensive to just, which I really thought they did at first, get local people, you know, local actors and whatever, to just cameo, basically.
For about 10 seconds, I thought Stardust was somebody new.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's nice, local wrestler. No, that's not a local wrestler. That's Cody.
No, it's weird, though, because the second Stardust came out, I thought, Damien Sandow cut his hair?
I thought Damien Sandow, too, but then I thought, wait, he was wearing a Miami Heat jersey earlier.
Right.
That means, you know, he was around, but not that. So I'm like, it's not Sandow. And then the second it closed in, I was like, oh, my God. In those exact words. Just that was my reaction.
Yeah, we'll get to that later, but I just have to say that it's just there's so much good and bad wrapped up in this, but if they're delicate, which they can't really be because they're never usually delicate, but if they can actually be a bit delicate with this, that can be an amazing thing that I think can really last them a while, and I would be okay with it. But anyway, but we have ourselves a caller, so I would like to put him or her in, so let us patch this person through. Hello, caller.
We are the champions, my friends.
What, we are? Well,
are you just happy because USA beat Ghana?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Monday Night Raw has nothing to do with it. I was concerned because,
Matt,
you know, both...
That's a sports reference.
Yeah, I know that. I hate you so much. I understand basic little things, like, you know, like Barry Bonds, you know, did something once. But anyway, so... but the thing is, I was concerned, Daniel. This is that's Daniel, by the way, everyone. I was concerned because I thought you were talking specifically about Raw, and both Tish and I were. We enjoyed Raw, but it wasn't definitely.
I enjoyed Raw? When did I enjoy Raw?
Kevin
Why
Hart,
are you lying
Stardust.
To people?
Okay, that was the best celebrity appearance for me.
Same here, actually. That's but anyway, so. From what we've been talking about so far, anything? Did you enjoy? You know the. What were we talking about? Now I've been thrown
nothing.
Off. Completely.
We weren't talking about. Anything.
Now I've been thrown off completely.
We
thank
you. About
you make sports references, and now I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
You guys were talking. Look. You guys were talking about.
Okay.
The cuts. Oh, if they cut people from NXT last time.
Did you enjoy? Did you enjoy the cuts, Daniel?
Did you enjoy the cuts from NXT? You're a bastard.
I was bastard.
You are such an ass. I swear to God, you have become the heel. You've had, like, the subtle heel turn of this podcast.
I don't believe that.
Did I make him a heel or something? So did I make him a heel?
All right.
I like that your voice cracked. You can be Brock Lesnar.
Let's try to come back. Let's try to circle our way around.
We're never coming back. It's all gone now. We let off the show with Stardust, a flamboyant Cody Rhodes in Goldust's painting.
Yes.
And
that was Cody Rhodes.
Asked our caller of the night, did you enjoy the cuts for NXT? We're never coming back. We're so far. We're in the dead zone. We're gone.
It's one of those things where...
Let's start with the Seth Rollins and Dean Dolph Ziggler match, please.
And now
why not?
Is dictating how our show goes. This is incredible.
Our callers, if you want to dictate how our show goes, please call at 718-664-9468. It's like buying stock in WWE, except this matters.
The stock went up today, actually.
50 cents, right?
It's up from because of the cuts, actually, stock went up, oddly enough.
Not oddly enough. I mean, you're trying to make them happy, you know? It's working.
Like, that just sucks, doesn't it?
It does. Well,
hero, and stock goes up.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think they knew about JTG. I think if they knew his legacy, stock would go down.
I would sell my stock in a company that cuts my hero.
Yeah. I agree as well.
Like, how would you feel
Daniel,
about,
sell,
you know.
Sell your stock, Daniel. No, but, okay, let's move on
sell
to the first match.
Sell your one stock.
Sell your one stock. Let's move on to the first match, you know, since Daniel's here, and we'll talk for a bit about that. So, Daniel, what did you think about Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins?
That's always, like, I'm having my two favorite athletes just, I like Seth Rollins, one I like Seth Rollins' new theme song.
Hmm.
It's okay, but
Yeah, well, his theme song, I think it's growing on me. Because at first I thought, the hell am I listening to? Like, it sounded as if, you know, someone was just banging on trash cans.
Yeah,
it
but
sounds like a disturbed instrumental.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it can be good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
Exactly. Right. But as he's getting used to it as well, I think he's really getting into it, which makes us get into it. It's kind of what he's wearing, though, that's throwing me off, because it's still very Shield-esque.
Yeah, that's true. But my thing is, also, did Dean get a new theme song, too? Because at the end, when Dean came
Dean
out...
Dean got
and,
a theme song tonight, yes.
Which is scary.
When he finished up that segment, he got a theme song.
Which is the scariest thing in the world. I thought it was... Yeah, because it was just... I'm nervous because, you know, he comes out in plain clothes, which is normal, but then he gets a new theme song, and it's just really, like, you know, 2 months before I go to a live WWE event, they're cutting off the Shield forever. Is that really what they're doing here? Just, really? Just 2 months before I go?
Oh, yeah, you're complaining. No. Your favorite people are still on the frickin' roster.
Hey, you have favorite people on the roster.
Paige.
Yeah, right? Mind you,
I'll give you that. That was a good comeback. Paige looked good tonight.
Yeah, but the thing is, so you have Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins, and this crowd was just, I mean, obviously it's his hometown. They were loving Ziggler. You know, there was just so much fire and
it
passion and intensity.
Really, really over, like beyond hometown over. Daniel Bryan hometown over tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, it was beautiful. I think, though, I have to say, there were way too many near falls, I feel. Personally, you know, because because at first it's like, oh, awesome, you're getting them excited, getting them pumped. It got to the point though that, like, I mean, thankfully they ended it in a, you know, on a disqualification, because had Seth Rollins gotten over, there would have been riots in the streets, you know, and that's the thing. And Seth Rollins has beaten him clean before. So I was thankfully they didn't go down that route, but it was one of those things where it's just, all right, like you knew that the end was coming, that it had to be someone coming in or something, because if it didn't happen, you know, obviously they're not going to put Dolph over, sadly, even though it is his hometown. They're not going to make Seth Rollins go over, because even though they stopped caring about hometowns a while ago, he was like, Ziggler was just, I mean, you know, he was on fire tonight. And I think that, you know, when you give him time, he was really able to show how good he is.
Yeah, but the thing is they won't push him because of past injuries, apparently.
Well, I think because, you know, I love the guy, but he runs his mouth. Like, you know, you run a freaking faucet. You know, it's just, I mean, just always. He can be the top of the world. He can get, you know, the titles. But it won't matter. He'd still probably say something inappropriate and then get destroyed.
Yeah.
You know. But what do you think about this, Satish?
First off, I like the match because, as Dana mentioned, these are two excellent athletes who are going at it. And you mentioned to me during the show that this was not the first time they've done this because they touched on our main event in SmackDown. And they did a nice thing by basically saying they continue their rivalry. Just a little statement like that changes up the dynamic of the match, you know, where people will look at it as a bit fresher. And it was the first time on Raw. So,
what I think they did also to make it, because again, at first I went really again, because that's all they've really been doing lately, in my opinion, is rehashes. But what they did, I think, that made it a lot better was when you have matches that are, even though they did have a long match on main event, and on SmackDown they didn't have that long of a match because it was SmackDown, but when you put them on Raw and then you also give them an extended, because I really felt like they had a lot longer, you know, a lot more to do, and I feel like they really gave it they're all, and I think that's what happened, where maybe Ziggler thought, I'm in my hometown, you know, if I'm going to lose or if I'm not going to win, let me at least showcase, you know, how great I am. And I think they lived off of that, both of them. I think they both just really gave it their all, and, you know, if it was so good that if that was the main event of the night for a championship, I really wouldn't have complained. You know, there was nothing. I mean, it was a great opening match. You know, I mean, it really got the crowd pumped and really got them interested, and it was great. So as you said, Satish, it was definitely a nice change. However, I don't want this to happen again. You know, it sucks because Ziggler didn't win. It still gives them that open door, which is an issue because
it's almost a foregone conclusion now, though, because even though they left it without Ziggler getting, you know, pinned.
Right.
He has already lost, and he was on the verge of losing again.
Right. True. Fair point. But so yeah. So Daniel, what do you think? Any closing words?
Well, pretty much, Dolph Ziggler. I wish my best luck to you. You will need it more than I do. I thought The Miz was going to come back tonight.
Yeah,
I'm glad
there were actually rumors. I was glad The Miz did not come back tonight. But I was really hoping, even though I understand that it would be weird to tie in Dolph into this, you know, rivalry at all. Still, I would, it's going on with the Evolution and the anti now more the Authority and everything. It still would have been great to have the rumored Ric Flair coming back to kind of manage Dolph. You know,
yeah.
That would have been nice. So all we really would have needed is Ric Flair coming out to woo, confusing Seth, maybe getting, Ziggler the pin, and now we have what it looks like, Ric Flair turning sides.
Yeah, oh,
because
man.
Now, yes.
That would look cool. You know what the funny thing is? I thought The Miz was going to be Stardust.
I'm so happy he wasn't. Oh, that would have dumped this down to like a CD level role for me. That would have I'm being said like that would have destroyed everything.
Really?
The Miz is horrible in a lot of things. One of them is WWE.
Yeah.
well, he succeeded in life. He married Maurice, so.
But life is not WWE.
Is like a total bitch.
That's true. We don't know.
Because in that case, he got really screwed.
Just like we did.
Food for thought. Food for thought.
Food for thought. All right, so that's what we'll end us off with tonight. Not our show, mind you, but we will be sending off Daniel. Daniel, thank you for calling and somehow managing to bring us off track and on track at the same exact time. Thank you, Daniel.
That's what I do.
Yeah, might as well.
That was the Danny experience.
Yeah, that was the Danny experience. He should make a show. It's called the Danny Experience, where he makes people get off. Where he makes people get off track by really random one-off, like just really weird questions, and then go, no, guys, let's get back on track here.
And that would be
his catchphrase.
And we could get Cannes studio audience to just basically clap every time he does that. But no, I mean, I want to touch on the opening segment real quick because the opening segment of Raw set up basically the rest of the night. And very simply, we had Steph and Triple H doing their healing, and what set up two things for the rest of the night. But we didn't know which was going to be the main event, and we'll talk about why that's somewhat important later on. Mm-hmm. John Cena versus Kane in a structure match, because the Authority announced that with that Money in the Bank Battle Royale coming up after dissing Daniel Bryan for the 1,000th time, which is good, but I don't need to rehash that, because you've heard them insult Daniel Bryan 300 times.
Right.
Basically, we've got our setup here where everyone on the roster, supposedly, can get in this Battle Royale for one of the spots. But the people who are excluded are those who have failed to adapt, being Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and John Cena. But Cena, looking all angry and whatnot on the stage, Triple says, no, we'll give you something, because there was a match we owed everybody, but we couldn't because Daniel's not a fighting champion, a stretcher match. But you can do it. So, Cena ends up facing Kane in the stretcher match, and I'm automatically assumed that this whatever 30 or 40-man battle royale would be the main event.
Exactly.
I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting we'll talk about that more
angle.
Later.
It was a good angle. Like, conceptually, this was a really, really hot start to the night, and it was followed up with the match we just discussed, which was equally as entertaining.
Yeah, honestly, I have to say this. If John Cena wasn't in the main event, I would have felt bad for him. Being in the main event actually made me upset. Because here's the thing. If he wasn't in the main event, I would have felt bad. I would have actually let myself feel for John Cena because he actually got an eye injury recently, and he was out for the weekend.
I want you to think about something. You're trying to feel bad for a man who was given everything.
But the thing is, okay, remember something, though. If they treated this like the back end of his career, it'd be okay. But we thought they were going that angle, and now they're screwing it up a bit. And I understand, Daniel Bryan's injury, that's probably why he's getting bumped up more than he was going to before. But still, my point being is, again, I was going to feel bad for him because of his actual real pain. Because, hey, the man, eye injuries are really – there's other injuries that you could at least say, oh, well, I can walk away from it. An eye injury, you might not be able to see. I mean, that's a huge issue. But then he's in the main event, so it's like, oh, okay.
Like, obviously,
I'm so sorry.
Fine.
Yeah, now he's fine. I'm so sorry. Especially because we saw the match that he worked. He's just fine. Yeah. You know, he's
perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
I mean, yeah. But moving forward, so and the reason why I brought up the near falls thing is because I think it became just, I don't know, too many, I think, really ruins the effect of a near fall. Now, jumping back to Rollins and Dolph before we kind of, you know,
I think the crowd was so hot for it that it didn't matter. Because they were so happy for Dolph that no matter what he did, they were going to eat it up, you know?
That's true.
And this is a rare situation.
Very rare. And then we have Ambrose versus BNB, which was, I think, confusing because they really need to get someone new to work with the Authority because it's literally just the same guy. And as much as I love Bad News Barrett and he really is tough, there's something about him, in my opinion, sadly, that... Okay, if they had switched over Sheamus to be a heel, I could see Sheamus going, you know, like wanting, like being able to just rip a guy to shreds to the point where it's like, oh yeah, that's the guy that the Authority is going to use each and every time, right? Bad News Barrett, I love him so much, but for something about him, maybe it's his body type, something about him doesn't make it feel as if he's going to come down to the ring to personally destroy you at the Authority's command, you know? He's bad news. He is bad news, but it seems as if it's been used more as a joke now rather than him being a legitimate threat to each, you know, to both members of the Shield.
Let me make an argument for you, though, on their behalf.
Okay.
Bad News Barrett was not sent down to do Brock Lesnar, Mark Henry, Hall of Pain, break his arm damage. He was, you know, Bad News Barrett was sent down to basically keep Dean Ambrose distracted for the most part. And who better to send down there than your heel champion?
That is true. I just feel as if there's maybe that it's a disconnect where it felt as if hearing the announce team, they made it seem like, wow, look at who they sent down. This is really, really bad, which is obvious because it is bad. You know, I mean, he is
a
tough guy.
Yeah, it should be treated that way. Like, I wasn't actually ticked with the announce team for that because they should be looking at it like that. That's your champion, your...
No.
It is
intercontinental. Yes,
yeah.
It is. That's the problem with these titles now. They're all meshing together. I agree. Yes, it's bad. You know, but I don't know. I feel as if they could have used other people. I'm not saying we needed a Brock appearance now. Although that would have been beautiful. That would have just been that would have been great. But there are. I don't know. I feel as if I really wanted that Sheamus heel turn. I think. Where it's just,
I agree with that. If you're arguing that Sheamus fit that role better than Bad News Barrett, then
that's what I would argue.
You're
certainly
right in terms of.
Yes.
But right now, because they didn't turn Sheamus heel,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I like it. I mean, I like that they're doing that with Barrett. Because why not? I mean, Barrett's a good, entertaining character. He's good in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, he's
and,
an asshole. He's not a heel in the ring. He's basically more of a heel on the mic.
Yes. Also, because I was funny, because at the time when I saw, talking more about Ambrose, when I saw him in his street clothes, I thought, oh, are they trying to transition him into, like, a singles role? I know they were street clothes because he wasn't supposed to wrestle a match, which is great when they do little things like that, so he wasn't supposed to wrestle a match, but he came out beating up Seth Rollins in tights, really? So I'm happy that they did that. But then all of a sudden, they had new music for Dean. And I
was
just
weird.
Confused. It was, and it really does upset me because I mean I know it's a personal thing, but it's just I'm going to a house show in 2 months. You know, Daniel Bryan was out on injury. They're not putting the Shield together because they dislike me. You know, it's like people are paying money for this, and it's just really. And yes, they did mention, you know, in the SmackDown Newark promo. Thank God they updated it. That Dean and Reigns. For some reason, all I can think of is Seth Rollins and how much I hate him. So Reigns and Dean Ambrose are going to be tagging together against Rollins and Randy Orton. But at the same time, I don't know if they're coming out together. I don't know if that'll last because that's actually in 2 weeks, I believe. So I don't know if that'll last until July, which I'm seeing them July 11th in
mm-hmm.
New York. So I'm hoping that'll last till then. I'm hoping they don't just think, oh, well, this pay-per-view's over. Let's really split them up and give them new music. Because Reigns did not have new music unless I was hearing wrong.
No, he got his Shield entrance music, which was kind of weird. That's why I was kind of confused.
Yeah.
I was like, why is Reigns keeping the Shield entrance music?
I would not be surprised if they screwed up a few times by accident like they've been doing a lot recently. which is funny because I know we did our rumor mill episode yesterday, which, by the way, definitely check that out. You know, it's on our Facebook page, Those Guys on the Radio, or if you're searching it, you know, Those Guys. You know, we had our rumor mill episode, but we actually didn't get to bring up the fact that there's actually a conspiracy going on right now. Not Illuminati. There's a conspiracy going on right now about, is Kevin Dunn effectively trying to ruin Triple H? And it's actually kind of funny.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah, if it's true, he's doing a great job. But the reason why I bring it up is because a few of the, you know, little things here and there, we're talking about, like, camera cuts and, you know, and things that really shouldn't have been missed. Like, that spear to Heath Slater should not have been missed. Also, even though I love the camera shot they got on Triple H and Triple H and, you know, The Shield at Payback, at the same time, at the end of Payback, at the same time, apparently it's not the shot Triple H wanted, or he wanted a longer shot, or it started earlier. So apparently they were focusing on other things, where it's just Triple H told them, hey, this is the shot that I would like. Which sounds silly, but at the same time, if you're being told these things beforehand, you know, you should, like, how are you screwing this up? So it's very interesting, I think, as a, you know, like you said before, food for thought. It's interesting if you think where, I mean, hell, look at tonight when Rusev came out. Nothing too, we're not going to jump to it completely, but you remember when Rusev came out and they actually started his music before
Yeah,
that was obviously a mistake. But it's one of those things where you sit there and think, how do you not know that beforehand? Because, and if it wasn't a mistake, all right, then they just, the mistake was that that didn't work. But
the
it
mistake
sounds like
was
it was
that,
a mistake.
If so, I think, actually, not the timing of the music, but that
right.
Roberts' mic wasn't loud enough at the time, because he was supposed to be able to overpower the music with his statement.
Okay, fair enough.
I think. Now, there
right.
was some kind of flub. There was some kind of issue there. But
yes.
I think, but that's just me, like, spitballing, because I don't know for
right,
sure,
right.
you don't know
no,
for sure.
Sadly, we don't know that for sure. You know, again, rumors. I know we had our rumor episode yesterday, but also, you know, things pop up every day in the WWE.
Right.
But anyway, so before we move on to the Roman Reigns, the first Roman Reigns and Vicky segment, which while we might not be a big fan of the end of those the end of the segment, they were actually a consecutive storyline segment, you know, chaining throughout the entire night. I have to say, they haven't done that in a while, you know. So I mean, even though I'm not a big fan of where it ended, I'm happy that they're trying again. Because it feels like they're actually trying again, where it's not just throw people in the ring and call it a day. But anyway, talking about Ambrose and Bad News Barrett, before we move on, I didn't like the end because I felt as if I understand why it happened. Oh, well, you know, Ambrose screws with Rollins' match, he's going to screw with your match. The problem is that it happened right there and then. So it's literally the same exact thing. You know what I mean? Where it's just, it just happened, you know? Put the match
booking.
Later on. Hmm?
It's booking.
I know. I'm saying just put the match later on in the night, and I think I wouldn't have complained, at least as much. But when it literally happens back-to-back, it's just, I mean, I understand, I guess we're supposed to, you know, think like, oh, well, he screwed with his match, so obviously, I think the announcing team even said that. But it still just feels as if they said, let's just flip it. Where, also the fact that Rollins wasn't there to kind of stand there and be menacing, I would have rather Rollins stand there. But no, Rollins left and then came back through, you know, the crowd to stand on the table and they go, how did Rollins get here? Well, we knew he was in the arena. He kind of
that
just
was
had
kind
a match.
Of weird, I will admit.
Yeah. I mean, they had some great things tonight, which doesn't really – I don't think that it should be like a C level because of some of the good things that they've had. But it certain things brought it down. I mean, a lot. Like, it's not a B-plus Raw, you know? That's the thing. If it's a B, it's a solid B, really close to being C-plus. And that – I mean, you know. And it's only – and it sucks because some of the things that they did weren't – you know, that really kind of ruined it were – could be little things, but – it's just that the way they focused on and certain things, it just it became a problem. But anyway, Roman Reigns, Vicky, right? I was really nervous the first time he said, "Hey, Vicky," because I thought, "No, don't make out with Vicky. You have a daughter. You have a wife."
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. This whole thing made me feel kind of weird because
yeah.
I can't give Roman Reigns a pass for doing weird. Okay. I can't find the word, but spiking Steph's drink was not a good thing. That's not
no.
something I want to see my face do. It's not some, like, John Cena doesn't even get away with it. Like, I criticize him for that kind of crap, you know?
Right,
like, when
right,
he
right,
drops
right.
shit on Dolph or when he, like, doused coal in barbecue. That's not
right.
a cool thing to do. Because
right.
if your faces are supposed to be good guys, they're not supposed to do something like that. It's one
I
thing
agree.
If, like, you put a face in a TLC match and he uses a chair. Because in
yeah.
my opinion, that's a different situation. But in present day, when he spiked Stephanie's coffee so bad that she had to go to the hospital, that's
yeah,
a pretty
I think,
dick move, bro.
Yeah, I. What's funny is I didn't even think about that specifically, but thank you for bringing that up. Because the way I felt was, and it's funny because all they had to do is change what was coming out of her. As that's a weird and creepy thing to say. Because I thought they were laxatives. And if they were only laxatives, I know that still can be pretty bad. But it just feels a bit less threatening when it's like, oh, she's pooping. Versus, so she's projectile vomiting.
Right, and also that was so stupid. And
to the point where they rigged
that,
a hose.
Yeah, that was so... That's It's
that
2014.
Really
I mean, I know your
really
audience
bad.
Is... That was so stupid.
No, here's the thing, and I'm just, okay, I'm not a big proponent of saying that Monday Night Raw has to be the most, you know, electrifying, oh my God, you know, everyone has to be naked, and it has to be all, and cursing all around, oh, fuck, Raw,
Ooh.
Fuck, you know, no, right? But at the same time, though, there's a reason you have SmackDown on Fridays at 8 to 10 p.m. You assume that is the... Even though it sadly isn't on CW anymore, which I'm sure, you know, on a regular, you know, non-cable network, I'm sure would get a lot more kids watching. But still, you assume that kids who are too young to go out at night, you know, are going to be there on a Friday night from 8 to 10 to watch SmackDown. On a Monday, I mean, you can even, you know, agree with me on this. When you were younger, you could not watch Raw.
Right,
because
we know that
on.
I couldn't watch Raw
yeah.
when I was younger.
Because,
I had to watch
because,
SmackDown because I wasn't allowed
yeah.
out, and I had a curfew. Well, not even a curfew. I had a really early bedtime.
Of course. And I think it's not even that it was really – I'm sure it was really early. But even then, you know, kids who are, you know, who are the kids that the WWE markets themselves towards are not going to be up till 11 o'clock at night when they – you know, when the next day they have school. And, I mean, hey, maybe for Raw, maybe. So, again, that's why I'm saying I don't think that Raw should be, you know, ah, sex Raw. No, but at the same time.
Live sex celebrations were actually promoted on Raw.
Yes, I know, right? That's and it was after the Attitude Era, even. So, hey, look at that. But at the same time, you don't need to have, you know, projectile vomiting.
No,
and it's funny. Yeah.
Like,
no.
Even on SmackDown, I don't think I would have ran this thing because it was so
no.
dumb. And I guess... I don't want my faces doing that.
Yeah,
you know, and especially because I like Roman Reigns. I really want to like everything he does. You know?
Yeah.
But
and there was a lot of good from him tonight, actually, because when he was talking to Vicky, you know, so basically the not spiking thing, him actually talking to Vicky, he was doing such a great job that I think, you know, with work he can become, you know, he has
yeah,
the Samoan
no,
blood in
him. He can become the full package because he has.
Yeah.
He's finding his niche in terms of, like, what he wants to do on the mic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah, he was very... I mean, I will admit his intensity, quote-unquote, a bit later wasn't as good. But when he was just
right.
talking to Vicky and just being very, you know, just like, you know, hey, Vicky, you know, maybe you should do this. I was so happy. I thought, wow, like, with a little bit more, you know, like, he could actually be The Rock. I mean, not to The Rock's level, mind you. But, I mean, you know, you can tell. Like, I can tell that he just... You know, when they started telling him, Roman, you really got to work on this, he just sat down and just went, screw it, I'm going to watch the network. You know, I'm going to watch The Rock on the network because I can. And just sat there and just watched his promos, I feel. Because I feel like he's starting to get into the groove. You know, he's starting to get that, you know, nice. But then again, you know, like everything in WWE today, he gets into his groove. He has a really nice script to play with. Just him, though. He has a really nice script to play with. And then he does something like this, where he, like you said, he's been pushed as his face, and he, at least until, I mean, if it was Dean Ambrose doing this, that's a funny thing, if it was flipped around, and Dean Ambrose did this, I would have thought, oh, he probably gave her rat poison, why hasn't she died yet, right? But it's Roman Reigns, the guy that you want to be your next John Cena.
In a way, right? And I just,
right.
it just really worries
yeah,
me, because...
that's the thing. Yeah.
It wasn't cool. And then it led to that idiotic
just projectile vomiting, as you've described it.
And it was idiotic, if only because it was done in a way that, okay, I know you're going to say to me, you know, it's completely unrealistic. Well, I mean, what are you watching? Yes, but it's the little things where it's just, I would like the announcers to at least acknowledge as a joke, because I think it should happen more often. Just look at Stephanie. Even when she's thrown up, she's immaculate, because she had none of the vomit on her, yet it was projectile enough to the point where it could hit Vicky completely and leave her completely. I mean, she had nothing on her dress, and I was sitting there thinking, really? Are we really doing this? Really?
Yeah.
I would have been okay if Vicky walked in and walked out and just been like the stink face. Just, oh, my God, you were right. You do not want to go in there. You know? I mean, the only saving grace out of that entire thing that happened with the projectile vomiting was Triple H the entire time going, like, you know what I mean? Like just his smirk, like, should I have not gone in there, Vicky? I'm covered in vomit. So I shouldn't have gone in there. You know, his smirk and his kind of just, you know, what he brings to it was the only thing that was good about that at all. Triple H. All right, Triple H is the only thing good about a segment. We really are in the future.
Yeah, no. I just...
Yeah.
I was made so uncomfortable by those, like, combination of segments. And I just felt like it's not from the right message, you know?
Not at all. And we've talked about this with John Cena. And, yeah, now it trickles down to Roman Reigns, because we can... With a lot of certainty, we can say that they're primping guys like Roman Reigns to be the next John Cena.
Right.
You might not like it, but it's going to happen because I mean,
all
hey,
I'm
you look
saying
at
is that, like you know, if you're going to use these guys like that, right?
Yeah.
Let's not make another like bad face. Let's not make another face who just tries to be a good guy and then F's it all up. You know, I don't want to see that happen.
Which is what Cena does most of the time. You know, but more than half the time, that's what they'll let him do. And it's by accident, actually, because I know that they don't sit there thinking, we're going to make him be a bad influence for children, right? They don't sit there and think that.
No, because those childish idiots sometimes at creative think what they're doing is funny.
Exactly. And here's the thing. It's weird because it is funny to the children. I'm sure children loved and laughed at that, but they didn't think about it, which is funny because then some people will say, oh, well, if the kids aren't thinking about it, then it's okay. But no.
No, it's still not okay.
Because if you ask them upon further analysis, they'll probably say something to you. It's like, well, yeah, if John Cena did it, then I should too. And that's or if Roman Reigns did it, then I could too. And that's a huge issue because – I hate to say this, but, you know, and again, some people will argue that I'm thinking too much, but it's true. If you will have kids say upon further reflection and inspection that, well, yeah, I mean, if Roman Reigns put something that made her be in pain and hurt her, it's okay because I should be able to do it too. So one day when they are in that position, they will do that. And if they were too young, they won't even think that Roman Reigns did it. They'll just do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it was not a cool play
no.
at all. But
no.
I mean, let's move on
and,
before I get really frustrated because.
Well, just before we move on, just one little sentence. And it's funny if only because I assume most of the time, no kid, even in getting older, will be in a situation like Roman Reigns or John Cena is in, which is also the issue, where it's just, well, at the very least, you know, John Cena does it because he's fighting demons and shit, right? Roman Reigns does it because they are really putting him down, you know, where like to the point where they could actually cause him physical, you know, bodily harm. A kid does it, you know, to, like, a bully that they may be so young that it's not even that type of, like, really, you know, a crazy bullying.
Yeah.
Or to, like, a boss at work who, I mean, it's a 9-to-5 job. You're going to poison and kill your boss. You know, it's stupid stuff. But, again, if you're promoting people as superheroes and good super, you know, good guys, just do it. You know, promote them as good guys. I mean, come on now.
Right.
But we move on to the Bray segment, which I actually, it's kind of funny. I don't think he wanted this as a human being. Like, Otunga did not want this. Because the beginning of the promo, that's his name, right? No, sorry, Rotunda. Sorry. He did not, David Otunga does not want, David Otunga wants to be on television. He's actually very confused. He wasn't cut. No. But Rotunda.
Confused he wasn't cut, but on top of that.
Mike Rotunda? Or...
Is that Wyndham Rotunda? Mike
Wyndham.
Is his dad, according to something I
think
Maddie told
yes.
me last week.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. Right. So he, I feel as if he actually didn't want this at the very least, because something about this promo felt very off. Or if he didn't, not maybe he either didn't want this or he was told this at the last minute. Because usually his promos are a thing of beauty. Right, and tonight, I'm not saying it was the worst thing in the world, because it got better, but something about it just felt very petty, as if he himself, as, you know, writing his own promos, didn't know why he would want the title, you know, where if he was maybe given some more thought, it's like, oh, I could use it as a way, because, you know, yes, you can use it as a way to control the masses, but it sucks because he sounded as if he was, as if he needed this. Where it's like, oh, you know, like I'm losing followers. He didn't say it, but it just came off that way. Where it's like, I need something to, you know, to keep you around, and don't you worry, this title will. Like, it felt as if that's what he was saying. And if you are want to argue with me, please, the number to call in is 718-664-9468. The number, again, is 718-664-9468. It just, the promo just felt as if it reeked of desperation, and then you had him, and then again, he tried to save it, which it worked out well, where he would see, you know, where he said something like, you know, oh, I will be the champion, I will give you the hope that you, that, you know, and the change that you have been praying for, and I thought, okay, good, you know, fair enough, but it's just, I don't know, something, he's also a very, he's usually a very subtle guy, right? I mean, it's funny because this is wrestling and he's the thing that he's done, but he's actually very subtle with things that he says. It felt as if he was just very forward, where it's just like, I have to win this. I will win this. I will be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And you think, really? Like, why would, like, really Bray wants this because he wants it? Like, he wants to show off that he is the, he wants to show, yeah, I remember now, he wants to show off that he is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
I think what this struck me as is not a bad promo, but a bad Bray promo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where, you know, he's still really, like, good. It's just, he didn't seem like he was comfortable doing this right off the bat. And to be fair, it's a delicate situation where the Wyatt character has been built as this, like, rule-breaker, cult, ridiculous kind of psycho.
Right, right.
To the point where, why in God's name would he ever care about winning titles unless it was part of his main plan? Which, again, is not inconceivable. You know, it's
It isn't. I honestly would be, and I know they probably don't want him to do this, and that's probably why, I can bet you money that they actually, put through this idea away, if he hopefully put this idea out there. I was hoping that maybe he would say, I want to, and maybe it'll happen if he actually wins. I would like him to say, I want to win this title, if only to show you how meaningless titles are. You know, how we could, and hey, maybe if he wins, he could actually say that, you know, where he doesn't even carry the titles. We actually have Eric and Rowan carry one each. You know, something like that, where it's just him saying, you know, I don't even need these, you know, like, I don't, like, you know, but it's just a problem where at this point it sounds as if he's saying, you know, I want them, I need them. It's like, no, you don't, actually. You don't, like,
yeah,
you shouldn't
it was
want
such,
these.
It was a drastic shift from what was, like, the strength of the Wyatt character, the crux of the Wyatt character, that it was like, no, that doesn't make sense, you know? And
exactly.
It doesn't make sense. And it is possible for him in storyline to want the titles. That's not what I'm saying is wrong. Just the way that it was basically done was not very well.
Yes,
so
in our opinion.
And I'll give him time
also,
to fix it because it's Bray Wyatt.
Of course. And I would like to add, fuck you, Sheamus. You know, no one is interrupting your shit. You know, and now we have you coming in here being John Cena, and at the time I was really hoping that Bray would win the match or something because it was just bullshit, you know? I mean, you have Sheamus coming in, and I say he's being John Cena because he comes in and then, you know, Bray, of course, at the end, before Sheamus interrupted, got the entire crowd to sing, I've got the whole world in my hands, which was great, if only because this one time, the camera shot, which I don't know why they didn't fucking keep it, it was actually a great camera shot, had Bray, he was under the ladder, and there was an opening between, you know, underneath the ladder, and his head. And in the opening, there were these two fans who actually had their phone light on them to have a blue aura, and they were mouthing the words with Bray. That was fucking glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, they cut off the camera two or three times, maybe thinking that it was too silly. No, no, no. That was a thing of beauty. That thing needs to be capped, screen capped. Please, someone, do it.
right? So that was great. And then out of nowhere, Sheamus comes in. And Sheamus says, oh, you know, you have a tune, I have a tune for you, you know. How about I shove my boot down your throat? Like, oh. Also, before he even said that, he said, oh, didn't you know it was bad luck to stand under, you know, to walk under ladders?
No, I just, Sheamus is like the most heelish face.
Yes.
Ever.
Sheamus is, in my opinion, Sheamus is John Cena light. You know,
he is.
You can get whiter.
And what's worse is that he's kind of boring at it.
Yes, and what's even worse is that again, they really give him a bad rap, and I feel bad. They being the WWE, because it feels as if whenever they need someone to fill in for something, it's Sheamus. Because I mean, you know, it's like, oh, we need, you know, Punk leaves. Let's put Sheamus in this random spot. I know technically Daniel Bryan got much of Punk's, you know, what he was going to get and did, you know, and but still, there were certain things here and there that you thought, like, all right, we, you know, so this is happening. We need to throw Sheamus in here or do something different with Sheamus than what we were planning originally. Oh, and then in this case, oh, so John can't – I'm not saying that John was going to work a match with Bray Wyatt, obviously. But the Usos coming out, and I know the Usos currently have something going on with, you know, with the family as well. And if you notice that main event tomorrow, they're going to have a 6-man tag, which stinks because you're probably not going to have them on SmackDown, at least
mm-hmm.
to the full capacity that we'd want. So, yes, you can see this was going to happen, but I mean, it's a bit too much. Where it's just, I don't think they were going to do John Cena tonight. But the fact that John Cena had to be caught up in this buried alive match, for this stretcher match, really makes me sit there and think, so Sheamus with the Usos, you know? Are you just throwing any face who's built like John Cena with the Usos? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, it kind of irritated me because the Usos running in to fight the Wyatts,
yeah,
has been done a lot recently, whether it's with Cena
yeah.
and now with Sheamus. And it's just kind of irritating where it's like, guys, okay, you could have just started off the match out there if you were going to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we just know
yeah.
by now.
Yeah, and also the match was just okay. You know, I mean, it got a bit better, but, like, it was a spot, nice spot with the ladder, but it wasn't even technically part of the match itself. I don't know. It was an okay match. That got worse, I think, when the Usos... Okay, it got better when the Usos came out, as in the pace got better. But I think just it got worse in the sense that... And now it's the Usos on one side and the Wyatts on the other. And it made Bray look bad with the Wyatts trying to beat up on Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I will admit, though, if it had to be Sheamus versus John Cena, like, based on how they are built, I would actually call in the family for Sheamus. I'm not going to lie. Cena, I feel... I'll take him on one-on-one, guys. Sheamus, you know what? You guys can come on. You know, this guy is pretty big. I mean, he's probably going to actually kill me. You should probably step on in, right? And then, of course, as I said, the match, you know, there was a nice spot after the match, but it went to hell with the DQ because it feels as if everyone needs to be protected now, you know? Where I, believe me, again, I was happy with when it happened with, you know, let's say with Ziggler, where it's just I didn't want, like, I understood why Ziggler wouldn't win, and I actually didn't want him to lose at all tonight. But it feels as if you're sitting here like, so does everyone need to be protected now? Can we not have a pin, you know, unless it's Fandango? Could we, like, is no one can be, no one can actually be pinned.
I think it just worked out there. This was, like, that's just, this specific night happened to be that, you know.
Yeah. But we move forward to what do we move forward to? Because we already talked about the other segments. When they had that Stephanie Heyman interview where, you know, Stephanie left and then Heyman appeared, I think it's just something about Heyman is just wonderful. I mean, first off, he talked about Bray Wyatt, and I think Paul Heyman referencing Bray Wyatt is a thing of beauty. You know, just the fact that the words came out of his mouth just made me think of all the things he could one day be talking about with Bray Wyatt. You know, that's one. Two, I don't know if you noticed this, but I laughed really hard. Did you notice how he just skipped over reacting to ADR?
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. I know he has nothing to do with ADR, and that's why. It's just great how it's just, like, imagine, it's like how we would talk about John Cena, right? Where it's just, you have all these great guys in the main event. You have Roman Reigns, the future star. You have Dean Ambrose, you know, a little bit off. You have John Cena. And then you have, you know, as that's how we would talk about John Cena.
No, I love, I think, his slow little progression into the mic right as Steph left. Ah, chaos
yes,
creates opportunity.
Too.
I was like, wow, that
mm-hmm,
just was
mm-hmm.
brilliant. And it just, it went by the boards. It was just beautiful. And he
that
just,
too.
If you put a microphone anywhere near him, he creates gold with him. And I think he was just one of the shining parts, even in a small little promo of the night, because
yeah.
he's just really good at what
I mean,
he does.
Yeah. I mean, my argument, and I think I've mentioned this before on the air, my argument is they had no reason to actually cut off Ryback and, you know, and Curtis Axel from him. They had no
right.
reason to. He actually, because here's the thing. I admit, yes, he can't, you know, they have issues with them. I understand that. But still, you could have easily made them a tag team under his tutelage, and you could have still had them going after the tag team titles and either winning or losing. I mean, hey, you know, it's weird because while Heyman, yes, you want all of your clients to be winners, right? Not all
mm-hmm.
of them have to be winners. Sometimes they're just paying you. I mean, honestly. So, and again, yes, Heyman wants to say, oh, you know, this guy won the Battle Royal. This guy did the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak. But there's no reason to say that. I mean, heck, correct me if I'm wrong. Ryback has won the WWE title.
I don't think he technically has.
Okay, fair enough then. Forgive me. But at the same time, he has shell-shocked John Cena. That means
yeah.
something. You know, Curtis Axel, I believe at one point he was the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion.
He was a very long reigning Intercontinental
yeah,
Champion.
Yeah, as much as, you know, as bad as that is for us, because we know what happened there, still, that is an accomplishment Heyman can, you know, can bring up if he had kept them as tag team. You know, you saw him hold this title forever. You saw Ryback fight in matches like this, this, and this. Imagine putting the two of them together, you know? I mean, Heyman can do so much with so little, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he had them as singles competitors, they, you know, it didn't work out for them. They put them together for some reason, even though it was after Paul Heyman had let them go. Or rather, they had left for, you know, I believe Ryback just left because he was angry. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, wait, so they're going to be a tag team anyway? You could have used Heyman still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think if you're going to have Paul Heyman guys, and it's going to be more than one guy, I really think that you should have a Paul Heyman, not even a faction, because I don't think that they need to just be there and sticking with Paul forever. But, I mean, Paul can do some great things. You know, and if he comes out twice a night, I don't think that's bad because he's not wrestling in any way.
No, he's not, and he gets to, you know, cut a little mini promo. It doesn't take up that much time. It would be good.
Yeah, but as we said, yes, he was great at what he did. Then Rusev. Now we have Rusev versus Slater.
Okay.
I don't think they believe. I think that they feel the same way. WWE feels the same way that you do about Rusev. Actually,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of funny. And I say this because, you know, if you've heard Satish Ram talk about Alexander Rusev, you've heard him just, you know, I mean, cut into him because of how, you know, he isn't really that interesting. And also Green in the Ring. I think WWE, at the very least, agrees with your Green in the Ring. And that's why they're trying to throw the same jobbers out at him, because they want him to get the TV time because of Lana, and which obviously is a good point. But they also, by doing that, they, you know, they don't want him to elevate himself too much, because if they do think, oh, damn, we don't know what to do with Rusev now, you know, it's really bad if you keep on giving him bigger and stronger people, right? Because if you do that, and all of a sudden it's like, well, he's beaten up everyone in the, you know, every jobber and everyone in the mid-card, now he has to be in the main event, but we don't think he's main event level worthy yet. So I think, personally, they may have called him up a bit too early. That's what I would say. And I think they're starting to realize
agree,
that.
But I just think it's just the whole thing was handled badly. You know, where, yeah, of course I would agree that you think he was called up early, because I don't think he should have been called up right now. I was more excited at the thought of his theme song. And then as I grew used to that, didn't have to hear it, pretty much found out that he sucked, at least for now. But there was a change in me, openly, in time you know, all this stuff.
Fair point. And I say, you know, and it's funny because he's already beaten up 3MB in the UK. So, again, as I say, rehashes, you know, throwing out the same jobbers, it really doesn't sit well with me. But, I mean, hey, it's a white guy. I hate to say that, but, you know, with what he's been doing recently, it's like, hey, the thing that did upset me, though, is no Big E interference at all. Yet, this is the match that they're trying to promote for Money in the Bank.
Well, there was a little thing in the Battle Royale.
A little thing, because they were in the Battle Royale together. But it still wasn't pushed as heavily as it should have been, I feel. Especially when it's not next week.
I agree with that.
It's not next week. So it's not like as if this Sunday is Money in the Bank. But the 29th is. And I know I've seen this post. I've seen this around on the internet, and it's so true. They need to set in their cards. Not even the winners or the losers. Fair enough. But they need to set their cards at least a week before. You know, unless it's something which is along the lines of, you know, who's going to be the last person in the Money in the Bank ladder match? That I understand. You know, that you can leave till even the freaking night before, you know, like on a SmackDown or something. You know, for us anyway, it's like two nights before. Because it builds up this, oh, who's it going to be? I need to see this. That's okay, right? When it comes to certain matches like, you know, Big E versus Rusev, you actually, those are more important, I think, to get in early, to make you think, so what am I seeing here on this card? Why am I either purchasing or at the very least wanting to watch this or not sitting here thinking my network subscription is worthless? You know, what is making you sit there and think, damn, yeah, I need to see this? You know, you need those matches. I mean, we had so much. They tell us that they had the matches for Payback picked, you know, from, you know, since Tuesday. Cool. Why didn't we know since, you know, till Sunday? That's a huge problem. But, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, but, you know, again, we have Rusev versus Slater, and then we have JBL saying, Heath is a one-man band now. I don't know if you caught that.
The American rock star, which, to be fair, he had a huge reaction from the crowd.
Oh, no. American Rockstar was great, but what I got upset about is when just JBL commenting, he said Heath is a one-man band now, and that actually upsets me because, you know, here's the thing. They treat their audience like they're stupid, right? Like they're not in the know-how, right? Feeding them every little thing. Yet somehow, when they want to, they think everyone is us. And I know they released it on WWE.com. But even then, it's just, you know, do you, like, you just expect everyone to be in your universe to the point where they're going to check your website every day for news, and if you post it on your website, I mean, they didn't even make a reference to it, other than saying he's a one-man band now. That means nothing. Like, if you were sitting here and you didn't know what we knew, like, if you're not checking WWE.com, if you're not a fan on Cage Side, and you're just sitting there, I mean, you're gonna sit there and think, oh, why is he a one-man band? Where did they go? That's not something you need as a, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to feed us, if you're going to think we're stupid and feed us everything else, why aren't you feeding us that, you know? I mean, is it just me? Am I wrong here? So, Tish Ram, are you dying?
I'm right here.
Oh, I thought he died. Everyone.
No, I'm just thinking about some stuff.
I thought he was future endeavored by life.
In the middle of the podcast, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I got caught in the middle of the podcast because WWE, as I was joking with you earlier, just finds my dreams and just cuts them off.
Right. No, but you agree with me on this? I wasn't that far off.
No. For once.
All right. For once, yeah, you can go now. But seriously though, also we have Lana being flustered. Right, which is just, I mean, I hate when
and we touched on that before, not tonight, but before, where Lana is just, they're doing this thing with the character where some nights she seems strong and powerful and dominant, and I think tonight they tried to combine, like, flustered Lana with dominant Lana, but it sounded just more, like, annoyed, like, shut up, I am talking, and it just had no power behind it.
No, I really think that that's why I said I really think that they're trying things differently with Rusev and Lana, but in a way that should only be left for superstars and main event, or most superstars, because that really isn't promoted as much as main event is. You know, they need to leave some of this, or at the very least, this is stuff that could have happened on NXT. You know, it doesn't need to happen now. You know, I'm not saying that their characters should be deadlocked, even though it would be nice if they were. I'm not saying that they should. But it's just, you know, it's just, it's weird when she was perfectly fine when she first appeared. Yet for some reason, someone in the back thinks, oh, if she hears it every week, she's going to be upset. And as you mentioned once, no, it doesn't matter if she hears it every week because Rusev is proving them wrong.
He has a gold medal, doesn't he, technically? Some gold medal for bravery?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
why would she care if the puny Americans are talking? You know, and
exactly.
He continues to dominate.
Yeah, and you know, but speaking of Slater, he had such a in my opinion, that was a fucking great promo, and I really hope that he gets a push, not a major push, obviously, but I hope he gets some more mic time from this. You know, like I want him to be the R-Truth guy, where it's just even if he gets jobbed out, people can still go, hey, he's speaking, that's awesome. You know, because we have this, it's, I don't know what the hell to call it, this epidemic, I'll call it, where people aren't given mic time, and then people who are watching at home think, well, they weren't given mic time because they're really bad at it.
And
it's
in some cases, it's true. Where Rusev, by the way, cut a promo tonight, at least for a sentence or two, didn't sound horrible, but there was nothing about him that stood out, you know, in terms of
right,
his promo.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
why he was originally given Lana, because Lana's very good at what she does
yeah,
in terms of that.
Right. You know, and you look at even Curtis Axel, who he can give something, but if he's ever tried to give his all, it could easily ruin a promo, you know?
Right.
Where it's just he's good at conversational talking. He's not good. If they said to Curtis Axel, you should cut a CM Punk type promo, he would be booed out of the arena the second his music hits, right? So, but at the same time, you know, there are certain people that are really just not given that opportunity. And it's terrible because, again, they think, well, they weren't given an opportunity because they were just so bad. We don't know. You know, we're made to forget, sadly. You know, in some cases, the WWE is correct. We don't have the best of memories, you know? I mean, because we've been doing, you know, even though we've been doing these podcasts week after week, it's a lot of WWE to take in, you know, especially. So you'll forget certain things here and there. And then all of a sudden, people will start to think, yep, that Heath Slater, he's just there because he's that bad at what he does. No, you know, I mean, if you give Heath Slater, almost, you know, everything you've given John Cena, could he not become John Cena? I'm not saying he'll be, you know, John Cena, but still, if you give him everything that you've given John Cena, as you mentioned earlier tonight, you know, my question is, like, could he become John Cena? You know, I mean, I'm not talking about his actual work and everything, you know, because obviously maybe he can't, you know, do that much in the ring. He can't, but on the microphone and, you know, whatever, I mean, I think he could, you know, if you give someone everything you've given, because you've given John Cena a lot, you know, to work with. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard the words John Cena and adversary, you know, backstage, mind you. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. So, but I mean, hey, he's, you know, I mean, it's getting better, I guess, right? Things are getting a bit better, looking a bit up, at least for Heath Slater. He got jobbed, but he got a promo. That means something for him, right? So, Tish, are you dying?
No, I'm right here. Just wondering to myself about, like, everything tonight. I lost for a second on the Lana and Rusev thoughts. Because I went back to it, I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, what else are they going to do with Rusev? Because, and I want to tie into when we get to the Battle Royale. Because
right.
he got a big mini push tonight.
Yes, it's very interesting. I, you know, we'll be there soon, but, because we're going to, you know, speed things up a bit. But one little thing before we jump. Well, two little things. One, I love King and JBL. Just King. Just later, wish he blocked it now, you know, referring to the kick. JBL, he blocked it with his jaw.
He did.
Yeah.
And on Slater, his Clem Layfield character is pretty entertaining on the JBL and Cole show. And, you know, there's like 50-50 rumors that they may go ahead with that in terms of, because they won with Bad News Barrett,
nice.
So let's see if we see Clem Layfield.
Right.
But at the very least, in a short span, you can see that Slater has charisma. And he is liked by people. So we'll see what they do with him.
No, most definitely. Also, before we move on, you know, it's really funny. I don't know about you, but I looked away for a split second, right? So the flag shot down, and it actually made a shooting, like a sound. And I was like, is Kane coming down to the ring? And I actually looked back
up
really quick.
Yeah, I was confused, too, because I was actually watching it, and I heard the noise for the pyro, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
and realized they were, you know, that was there because
they
should zoom out for that and just let the flag roll
or something.
Make it seem more majestic.
Yeah. No, again, as I've been saying, you know, again, conspiracies, I'm a man who, you know,
shake
always,
your fist right at Kevin
always
Dunn.
Loves. Because the thing is, I'm a man who, you know, loves a good, you know, a good conspiracy, not to believe, but to at least look up like, oh, you know, it's a story. Oh. So, again, the conspiracy right now, the, you know, is backstage. Kevin Dunn is not doing. And if you look at it, Rusev is a recent call-up by Triple H from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get things wrong with Rusev in terms of, you know, Lana and the way she acts and, you know, and not zooming out for camera shots, I mean, you know, like, again, just because like I said before, how do you not know that's coming? You know,
right, like,
how
did
you...
the ones who put that up? So you knew it was going to happen. Just zoom out a little bit. It's not hard.
Yeah. Yeah, like, are you really telling me that it's just, you know, oh, well, the flag's there. I didn't know the flag was coming down. You know, obviously you're given these cues.
And again, this
so
isn't
unless,
the first night they've done the flag thing either.
No, no. So what I would like to say is, WWE, if you're doing any more cuts, maybe it's to your camera guys. I'm not going to lie.
What's Kevin done?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. But a Kevin that isn't as bad, though, is Kevin Hart. We mentioned him earlier. I think he saved this Raw. I think this could have been a lot. I mean, I think it could have been a lot worse had he not have been here. And
I think he saved the Raw, but I'm with you
save,
on the fact that he was pretty
I
entertaining.
Save, if only because if he wasn't here, I think this Raw would have been a lot worse. Is what I'm saying. Like, if he wasn't here, there would have been a flair. There would have been a fun. Like, if he wasn't here to pump, you know, to kind of pep us all up and be happy. I mean, we would have had some, you know, some bad stuff, you know, in the middle. I mean, if you think about it. You know what, we had Rusev versus Slater, which is, you know, a redo, and then, you know, before that, I mean, we had, you know, this Bray Sheamus thing, so he was really, his role was needed.
But see, that doesn't, right there, doesn't that attest to how bad Raw really was? When you're basically saying that the saving grace was Kevin Hart.
Fair enough. That's why I said, I'm not,
who's
yeah,
not
I'm
even
not
a WWE superstar. This
no.
is not a, you know, so it's not like you can say,
but
Saving
the same,
Grace was the Shield who we can count on. No, it was a celebrity guest star.
Remember this, though. That is, it was a toss-up, though, because he could have easily have been terrible, and that could have brought down
That's
the Raw again. To
if he was terrible,
yeah,
this Raw would have been really bad.
Fair enough. Good point. But, hey, they took a chance,
like,
and it actually worked out very
well. To the point where you may have, like, you know, stopped watching. Because you could have turned it off because you just would have lost the momentum, you know, just lost that feeling.
They did do something right, and they put the Battle Royale, I mean, sadly not last, we'll talk about that soon, but they put the Battle Royale on the same night they put on a stretcher match, which is something I haven't done in a while.
Conceptually great, yes, I agree.
To at least bring in, so in a way, hell, you may have actually sadly tuned out and thought, oh, I don't need to be on for the first hour. I know this stuff. Even the second hour, I know this stuff. Hell, maybe people probably didn't even know that Kevin Hart was going. Well, you know, they knew he was going to be on, but they probably did not think he was going to do as well as he did, and didn't even care because usually celebrity appearances aren't that good.
Yeah, and based on the amount of time that he got in that match, WWE didn't really have much faith in him.
Yeah, I know. I felt the same exact way, but it's great, I think, because I think I would love him to call a match in the future. Nothing major. And I don't want him to call a WrestleMania main event or anything, but if they have, you know, Adam Rose, you know, Fandango, you know, Stardust and Goldust, I want him there. You know, I do. Movie or not, I want him there. Because I think he just brought something great to it. I mean, look at him in the interview, right? In the first interview he had before the match, you know, I mean, if they had the Exotic Express make celebrities uncomfortable every week, I would make sure to tune into Raw every week. I already do, but I would never think I have to miss a Raw ever in my life.
But you rarely do.
I know, but still,
You're a bad example.
I am. But
your point, it does seem like an entertaining concept. I agree.
It really, really, really is, right? And then, and also just his facial, I mean, his expressions and his reactions, the entire thing, it just felt so genuine. It felt as if they actually did not tell him, as if his publicist, you know, told him, like, oh, hey, Kevin, so, you know, you're going to go there, you're going, to, you know, you're gonna be in an interview with a pretty woman, you know, and then a superstar is going to come up to you, and then you're gonna go out there and you're gonna talk about their match right after. And he was like, all right,
yeah.
Cool.
He's like, okay,
and
that's
then,
it.
And then he walks in and he sees the pretty woman, you know, Renee, and he's like, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, the Exotic Express just appears. And his face was just, it was a thing of beauty. It was work of art because he just sat there and he really looked as if he thought, what the hell did I just walk into? Like, I didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just trying to come here, talk about wrestling, promote my movie. And then all of a sudden, these people, you know, these hippies, I mean, just come in and just surround him. And it was just, and it was great. Especially because you had Adam Rose not only compliment him on his movie, but also say, you know, you need to be a Rosebud. And he's like, well, what's that? Like, what you doing? Like, what are you?
Yeah,
what is
a Rosebud? The look on his face was like, what the fuck is a Rosebud? Is that a gay thing? I'm not that kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? Like, what is, mm-hmm. like, what's going on over here? Like, what's all this? Like, it really felt as if he actually wasn't told. And I think that kind of, you know, that, I mean, again, you know, I don't think either of us are going to say he's a really bad actor, you know? And little things like this really at least show that he's good at the little things. I think that's what matters
mm-hmm.
as a comedian. You know, as a comedian, that's what makes you think that maybe we just need more comedians on instead of just celebrities who, I mean, I'm not saying that Kevin Hart really cares about the product, but you can tell that there are certain celebrities that maybe they care, but they're not giving, you know, they're not going to give their all. Like, it's hard for certain people to give their all when they're
well,
doing
they have
things like Breaking
it down.
Bad.
You know, I mean, you look at guys like the last celebrity they have on, that Batista guy, Dave Batista. He
yeah.
seems to really care about the product. And you go before that, Hugh Jackman seemed to care, too. So
he did, yes.
These
yes.
celebrity actors that they've been bringing in look like they're doing good stuff. I mean, Batista even stuck around for a little while. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fair point. I'll give you that much. But I just think that, you know, he really, I mean, he brought so much to this. I mean, also, by the way, I would like to add, and I'm not saying that Kevin Hart is a motherfucker, but what I'll say is that motherfucker is not 5'4". He's billed as 5'4".
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say that. Now, to any of us out there, I say us because I'm a short male. To any of us out there, Kevin Hart is not 5'4". You know, I mean, and here's why. You know, John Cena is shorter. Everyone on TV who's billed as, you know, really, like John Cena, I think he's billed as 6'2", right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's obviously a lot, you know, but again, they're all shorter than they are billed. I mean, you mentioned that Mark Henry is shorter than you, and how tall are you again?
5'11".
You're 5'11", and Mark Henry is shorter than you. So, yeah, so you may even be near John Cena's height, you know. Hell, you may even be taller than Alexander Rusev.
I think
right?
I'm taller than all of them that's not Reigns, Undertaker, Kane.
Big Show.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the ones that are really built as those huge people. Yeah, I think you're probably a lot taller, or at least taller, or in the same range as many of them. Because, again, when you're any kind of entertainer, don't trust Wikipedia, don't trust the build, weights, and heights, because they're all bull. Right? But Kevin Hart is just, he's just, he's really a funny case. Because, again, I'm 5'2", 5'3", on a good day, I'd say, maybe 5'4", if I'm lucky. He is not 5'4". I mean, to the point where, when I literally saw him walking out, I'm like, oh, that's a small child. That's not Kevin Hart, that's a small child. You know, and he turns around, and you go, oh, it's Kevin Hart, shit. You know, he's not. I mean, again, maybe that's how I'll be if I ever become, you know, a WWE superstar, just walking out there looking like I'm a small child, looking like I'm, you know, tiny compared to JBL. But it's just something about him when he walked out, and it's just, and it's funny, because then when I really tried to, you know, delve deeper, right, you know, using the internet, and I was like, no, he can't be 5'4". It's funny because they said that it's like, oh, no, he's apparently 5'2". You know, in an interview, he was broken down. When he said he was 5'4", they're like, no, you're not. He was like, all right, fine, I'm 5'2", right? But even then, as a guy who can be 5'2", I'm like, bullshit. No, I couldn't accept it, right? I could
mm-hmm.
not accept it. And then, as you mentioned once on air, you know, it was mostly just through fans kind of interacting with him. The same way you mentioned how they interacted with Rey Mysterio, and they saw that
right.
he's definitely not 5'6". You know, he may be my height, Ray, which is nice because it gives me hope, right? So I looked up, and it's like I've heard that Kevin Hart is actually 4'10", which makes a lot more sense. You know, if Kevin Hart is as tall as my grandma, that makes sense. You know, I love my grandma. I love Kevin Hart. It makes sense. If he's as tall as me, that cannot be a thing. I mean, come on.
Can we talk about your logic here?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd talk about our
lives. I love my grandma. I love Kevin Hart. That's great. Anyone that's 4'10", Matt loves them.
Yeah, exactly.
If Hitler was 4'10", I love my grandma. I love Hitler. I love Kevin Hart. They're all 4'10". You know why he loves them? Because they're shorter than him, and thus they make him feel better. It doesn't matter what else they do in life. At all. Really.
I mean, pretty much, yeah, basically. But seriously.
Child molesters. 4'10", talk to Matt. He loves you.
Okay, before you said he loves you, I was like, you know, if you're a child molester and you're 4'10", please talk to Matt. How about we don't? You know, how about we just don't talk to Matt?
How about we all try to talk to Matt? Like, all of them just try to find Matt. Through those guys' Facebook, find Matt and talk to him.
Or email those guys on the radio. Those guys on the radio at Gmail. But anyway, but seriously, though, I'm really happy, though, that I'm really hoping he's 4'10", because, you know, you even mentioned this. You're like, oh, no, bad. You're not that short. You're not that, you know, you're short, mm-hmm. but you're not that short. So sitting here, me thinking, like, you know, like, I cannot, you know, again, it's the entertainment industry, you know. They have to build you up as taller and bigger to make you feel more menacing, even though when you're obviously not, because even Kevin Hart knows he's not menacing. He is, his, you know, his comedy is based around that, mm-hmm. him not being menacing. But it is a problem, I think, when even then he has to be billed as 5'4", which is, because even if, let's say, he was 5 feet, right, which is shorter than me, but still, that's still 4 inches, you know, if he's 5'10", you know, that's, I mean, 6 inches taller
mm-hmm.
than, and it's upsetting thing, actually. It makes me really feel upset and really a lot of anger towards the entertainment industry, I think, because, you know, you have someone my girlfriend, who you think, you know, you might be thinking is like, is she too tall, or is she not tall? You know, she's a normal height, but she'll either be looked as too tall, or if she's in the entertainment industry, be billed as really tall, when really she's only a couple inches taller than myself. You know, so again, and also again, makes me feel, am I short? You know, no, not when you look at guys like Rey Mysterio, who are actually my height, who it does stink that they're billed as the littlest of the people in WWE. But now I think there's probably people that are even shorter than Rey in the WWE that no one's even talking about.
Why do you love your girlfriend? She's not 4'10".
I don't know. I really don't know. I
wonder if she really listens to us.
I love you despite your height. She can't now because she's trying to catch up so that we could Money in the Bank with her, because she's great on the radio, everyone. She and I did a Total Divas podcast that's also, you know, accessible through our BTR account, our Blog Talk Radio account.
Mm-hmm.
Also, search us up on Blog Talk Radio, by the way. You know, that's another great way of seeing all of our shows listed. But, of course, again, like us on Facebook, because you'll know when our shows are coming up, you know, which is definitely a great thing. But anyway, so the match itself was wonderful. I mean, just to kind of go a bit quicker, but still, the match was great. I mean, it was short, so the match, but, I mean, everything Kevin Hart did was just amazing. And he really brought something that I haven't really seen celebrities bring.
A good pairing between, you know, Fandango and Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pairing we want to see.
I agree. And, you know, it sucks that Adam Rose has won twice in this pairing so far, but obviously the segment wouldn't have worked had he lost. So
mm-hmm.
Hopefully they keep this going. And on SmackDown, Fandango gets the win, furthering their rivalry. I hope this is a match at Money in the Bank. This would be great.
It's a potential one.
Yeah. I mean, with Heath Slater losing some of 3MB, hopefully that means that, you know, Hornswoggle isn't going to be fighting El Torito anytime soon. So hopefully this can be our pre-show comedy.
Yeah,
but,
why not?
Yeah.
That's perfect pre-show material.
You know, most definitely.
You have two guys who can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
You give them 12 to 15 minutes, they can put on a really good match for you.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I think that, like we said, this is the best part, you know, I think this is the best we've seen of Adam Rose, you know, where he's just getting better and better. And I think anyone who isn't high on him right now, or at the very least isn't thinking highly of him, they're either taking the product way too seriously, or they've just been previously tainted by his, you know, when he first got called up and he wasn't as good as he is right now.
I think people are looking for a reason to hate him, to be honest with you.
I actually think so, too. I think that because, you know, we've been looking around on the Internet, and usually we agree with the Internet, by the way. Usually we're, you know, we're in sync, right? And but in this one case, it's just a really weird thing of I feel as if it's people who, you know, who say they want fun in their lives, but their version of fun is just seeing John Cena lose at everything. So if it's not John Cena losing at everything, it's bad, right? So any of the fun stuff that we see here that we're like, oh, Adam Rose, funny. Santino, depending on the day, without Emma, usually without Emma, right? Funny, right? But again, mm-hmm. when these people see them, they think, this isn't real wrestling. You know, they don't really say this, but it comes off that way, where it's just, you know, this isn't, you know, as if it takes a shit on the product. When really, we only had one comedy act tonight, and the product was shit on, you know, regardless, you know, I mean, you want to shit on the product, you do projectile vomiting on Monday Night Raw, you know? That's how you shit on the product, not by having funny wrestlers. I mean, like I said, personally, I think that the way they did that Kevin Hart segment, the things that Kevin Hart was really able to bring to it, I mean, two quotes. I remember when he said, which is great because it left the announce team speechless. He said, you don't come behind a black man. You know, just the things that he said was great, you know. So you don't come behind a black man, you know, I thought there were sirens. I was about to run. And
may be some people who didn't like it, by the way.
I'm definitely sure there weren't people who liked it because there are people who obviously aren't a big fan of Kevin Hart comedy. But I also think that, and I'm not saying that I'm the hugest fan of his comedy either. I just think that even though the announce team wasn't particularly bad tonight, they also weren't particularly amazing either. And I think, you know, so what I think is, I think Kevin Hart brought something real to it. Where maybe, hey, maybe if people weren't talking into the, you know, commentary's ears, maybe they could bring something a bit more real, you know, from their own personal experiences as well. And that's what I felt Kevin Hart brought, where he just brought something that felt real, where it didn't feel as if they were like, you know, Kevin, speak from this script. You know, it felt like he was real talk, which is upsetting because maybe that's why they wouldn't bring him back. But entertaining wise, I feel as if, you know, people were entertained by that. Not, again, maybe not in the circles that we roll around in, but I believe that the general public was entertained. And that's all that they care about. So I think that they should bring him back on. But I'm sure there are people that weren't a fan of it. Because, again, anti-fun, you know? Of course the celebrity is going to be teamed with shitty Adam Rose. This is another reason why he should be taken off of television. He's bringing nothing to the product. You know? I mean, have you actually heard of anyone saying anything, or are you just kind of speculating?
In terms of what, Adam Rose?
It's Kevin Hart. Also,
no,
being
I
mixed
just assume
with Adam Rose tonight.
That the fact, because, I mean, it just happened, you know? But I assume that there are people there who really don't enjoy that type of humor. Not even Kevin Hart, but racial stuff, too. And they're going to sit there and be like, great.
No, here's the thing. I agree. I agree, by the way. I'm not a big fan of racial humor as a whole. I mean, when you have certain people like George Lopez or even more so, even putting George aside, I think it was Carlos Mencia who I think was a bit too much.
I think Mencia may have brought your race down a little.
Yes, thank you.
Like, Carlos Mencia did for Hispanics what I think Tyler Perry did for black people.
Thank you.
I know I can get, shot for that, but I'm being quite honest.
No, not at all, because, I am a minority, you know, of Hispanic race who is agreeing with you here. So at the very least, we have me here, right? So don't you worry. Thumbs up, right?
Yeah, sounds good to have Mexico on your side.
I hate you so much. So again, he can. I'm not Mexican. He can, you know. So
that's
Mencia
really
brought something. Mencia brought something. You know, I don't know. To it,
you
right?
almost said Mexican.
No, I hate you so much. So anyway, Mexican brought something to it. But you have Kevin Hart, and mind you, again, he. It's weird though because it's his humor. You know what do you? And he also, I will admit though, Kevin Hart again can be maybe a bit too much sometimes. But he said. Okay, here's the thing, though. I also feel like sometimes you do have to admit that, you know, it's from that person's perspective, not... So Kevin Hart didn't get on and speak for black people. And honestly, if he did, then honestly, if Kevin Hart spoke for every black person tonight, we need black announcers. He was hilarious. That's what I'm saying. If he spoke for every black person in the world and black people had to say, damn, this is the guy that talks for all of us, And Kevin Hart made every black person in the world hilarious.
You do realize we have Byron Saxon, who's a pretty capable and usable announcer, right?
Exactly. So I can't wait till he gets called up to the main roster. That would be wonderful, because he's also a very funny guy and a very, you know, and he's more in line of an actual, you know, commentator rather than Kevin Hart, who would just be the entire match going, "Who's that guy? Well, why is he doing that? Why is he..." Like, he would, without even... like, there'd be nothing in his ear. He wouldn't have put the headphone in. So it'd be like, "Well, that's the Demon Kane. Why is he a demon and shit? Like, you guys don't have exorcisms?" Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he would just constantly just...
I do wonder how that's going to go, by the way. Like, I don't want to delve into this too much, but...
Okay, no, because we are going to be moving on shortly.
Yeah, just... They... I think at WWE expect a certain thing from black characters and black commentary.
Right.
And, I mean, you look at one of their last consistent commentary pieces in Booker T, and the way he almost in contrast to the white guys, you know? And
then you've got
Byron, and is Byron going to get slack for not being black enough?
That's the thing where I think... I hate to say this, I think that there are certain people that Triple H is waiting for to bring up, and they will be brought up when either Vince leaves or sadly passes away, or Kevin Dunn is fired, you know? There are certain people that will be only brought up, I think, upon that. Because, hell, I was watching NXT, and I was like, wait a minute, do we have a female who is African-American who is saying, "This person is coming out"? You know, it's coming out to the ring. That actually took me by surprise. And it angered me that it did, because it shouldn't. But it did for WWE. You know, it threw me off. Having an African-American female, you know, both. Not just a woman, you know. Not just an African-American. An African-American woman, you know, calling the match. You know, saying like, "Oh, yeah," not really calling the match, but saying, you know, "Oh, here's so-and-so coming to the ring. Here's so-and-so coming to the ring."
Mm-hmm.
So I sat there and I thought, yeah, I think that someone like her, they're waiting for some of the old guard to kind of just phase out until they're going to be brought up. I mean, hell, they're at NXT for a reason, you know, or at the very least, you know, for commentators, also main event, they're there for a reason, you know, to work on there. But anyway, we have to really, you know, move on quick. So, you know, quickly, Battle Royale, you know,
Battle Royale.
Not the main event, should have been the main event.
Right.
Confused as to why it wasn't.
I am too. And,
yeah.
I mean, I mentioned this to you, but it's just weird where I think it should have been the main event. And I know the argument is, okay, stretcher matches haven't been done on Raw in a while, and, yeah, that's actually one that I could actually accept. But this probably should have been a main event. You would have Reigns standing tall.
Exactly, because here's the thing. Because, okay, I actually, sadly, I did not put in the John Cena interview for some reason into my notes, but it's a great time to bring it up, though. Perfect time.
God, that was bullshit.
I'm actually okay with it, if only because here's the thing. If Cena doing that to Bray Wyatt, right, Cena doing that to Bray Wyatt is an issue, right.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Because
that.
Bray is new. Right? You need to build up your new guys, because same thing as you mentioned before with NXT. You can't cut funding and then not have people for the future. So so Bray is your future, right? Kane, however, as well as the Authority, they've done so much. I mean, Kane, you can't really break down Kane, right? You can't, John Cena saying things to Triple H about Triple H makes Triple H laugh. John Cena is pissing in the wind, you know, with the amount of things that, you know, Triple H has done and brought to this, you know, company. It's funny in a way. John Cena trying to say anything. It would literally be like John Cena trying to talk down Hogan trying to say, "You know what, Hogan, you suck." And Hogan just sits there laughing. Just, "I'm fucking Hulk Hogan."
Right.
Right? So that's how I feel, right? But if this wasn't the main event, that would have been my only thought. That would have been my only thing where, oh, even though he's doing that, it's okay because, you know, he isn't putting anyone else down. But him being in the main event, now it's putting people down. Now he's currently put down Roman Reigns and every single person in that. I mean, I think it might be the first time that he's actually put down an entire roster, save for the fact that when he jumped onto everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think the crowd noticed it too. Because I will admit, the crowd seemed a bit dead after that battle royal, because it took everything out of them. It was just, I mean, it was just a moment where they just, you have Rusev and Reigns standing tall. And in this case, and in this one case, while of course everyone's rooting for Roman Reigns, no one would have been severely angered, other than maybe you, that, you know, with Rusev winning it. Because, hey, even if Reigns didn't win, Reigns could fight Triple H or someone else in the next pay-per-view, single, one-on-one.
Yeah,
I'd
be really pissed if Rusev won. Because it
would
have been a really stupid addition to the stupid push they're giving him.
I would have been okay with it, if only because he could lose but be protected in his loss because it was a six-man thing, and you can give Roman Reigns something better to do, because I don't think Roman Reigns is going to win this.
Well.
That's the thing. I don't know.
Like,
I don't think you're going to do that to him.
I probably agree with you on that notion, actually, anyway. So.
Yeah. So,
that's
so, but anyway,
I get
anyway,
what you mean.
Yeah. Also, the fact that, and it brings me to one of my earlier notes for this Battle Royal. Why,
right.
Or Battle Royal, why are you putting both Bo and Rusev in this? It is a protected loss, but it's still considered a loss on their record, if I'm correct. So, Rusev and Bo have a loss on their record, the official record.
Technically, no.
If you lose in a Battle Royale, you have a record, unless the rules changed. Without telling me.
Well, singles comp, when they talk about this undefeated and, like, the win streak stuff.
Right.
It's mainly for singles competition.
Right. I mean, yeah.
We've talked
I
about this, where they'll use them in tag matches and stuff like that, and it's okay because of the fact that technically.
If they don't get the pin, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a situation where, I mean, I don't know. And also, you have someone like.
Because Rusev hasn't been pinned, nor has he submitted. And
that is true. That is true.
And thinking for Bo, at very least, in the WWE level.
Yes, or at least in this run. But there was a few things, though, tonight in that Battle Royal that I always feel as if they, you know, and we won't talk too much about them, but I feel as if they never, when they're booking a Battle Royal, they just don't care. And it's really bad. Where Woods was eliminated very early, where he hadn't even put on a match that night, yet Fandango lasts for almost the entire match, which was shorter than a Rumble, but was still, you know, longer than, he just had a match, literally, with Adam Rose. What are you doing? Right? So Woods eliminated early. Fandango was kept for a while. Did you see how Sin Cara was thrown out?
I did not. I mean, it flipped me for.
The man is a luchador, and yet we have.
Oh, was he tossed out on the Jack Swagger?
Yes.
The catapult?
Yes, the catapult that didn't even
it
have him
so
fly
awkward.
Because it looked awkward, and then you think he's a freaking luchador, at least do the solid of holding onto the ropes, and then the second you get up, Jack Swagger, you know, clotheslines you off. You know, don't botch this up. Like, don't be your predecessor here. If you're awkwardly, you know, whatever, hold on to it, and then look at Jack in the eyes, and hopefully he understands what just happened, and then he bashes you off of it, and it's okay. You know, if it had been anyone else, you know, if it had been, I mean, anyone else, right? It's like, oh, well, okay, that was awkward, but, I mean, hey, you know, bigger guy or something. This was a guy who's billed as, you know, I mean, it would have been like as if it happened to Kofi Kingston, you know? Where it's just these guys are so athletic that why is he not just going to hold on to the ropes, you know? I mean, you're trying to, I don't think they're trying to make this guy the next Rey Mysterio, but they should be, but still, either way. Also, my mind actually at the time had blocked out that Cena and Kane was a match that night, so it made me think, is this going to last an hour? Is there no Divas match tonight? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. And it should have, because here's the thing. Now you start to think, okay, the Royal Rumble is something where you have to suspend your disbelief, right? You have to, right? It's the Royal Rumble. So you have to sit there and think, oh, even though it's the pay-per-view supposed to end at 11 and it's currently 10 o'clock, still, you never know. You know, as a kid, even, this match should go on all night, oh, little kid, right? But this is a battle royale that had a lot of people that only lasted 20 minutes. You know,
mm-hmm.
Less than it, actually, less than 20 minutes. And you're sitting here thinking, like, even though they might be thinking kids are really stupid, they aren't that stupid. Like, even as a kid, I would question the Royal Rumble. And now I'm just old enough to go, screw it. I don't have to question it. It's still really cool. As a kid, they're sitting there thinking, so we have John Cena versus Kane, you know? It's currently, you know, like, they're looking at the TV guide or whatever. Like, it's 10 o'clock. The show ends at 11:05. You know, this match can't last all night. You know,
how long is
this match? Right? Yeah, exactly. It's still 1 a.m. The match is still going on. Actually, they have not declared a winner. They have not declared a winner. Bo actually didn't. His feet didn't touch the floor.
He's
leaving. Yeah, he is.
Hello?
You're muted. Oh, no.
That was actually accidental. I'm completely sorry.
Who? I was muted or you were muted?
I think you were muted for the moment there, actually.
Oh, well, what I was saying was that the match is still going on.
Yes.
Bo Dallas, Bo Leaven. What I was saying, though, was that it's stupid because Roman Reigns, I mean, you can tell that the crowd was out of it because Roman Reigns could have stood tall. You know, he could have been, you know, I mean, he's new. You know, he's what could be one day the top babyface of the company. How are you not thinking of building up those guys and yet you're going to have John Cena in the main event again? And you can tell that the crowd was not into it. Even the Cena sucks, I think they started to realize, wait a minute, if we chant, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, at home they're hearing Cena twice. Let's cut that shit out.
Yeah,
and they got it.
I think, too, was that as much as you love Roman Reigns, as much as I love Roman Reigns, right, booking was very deliberate.
Yes, of course.
Where
I mean,
everybody and their mother knew he would be the one winning this battle royale.
Exactly.
And what they did there was essentially took away something that could have been potentially very entertaining, very interesting, and kind of was.
And they've been building it up all night, too.
They basically gave us the outcome before the match. And to some people, that's not that entertaining. And in this case, it was a little disappointing for me, where I sat there and thought, man, you know, I know Roman Reigns is going to win. I guess I'll just watch to see how.
But he hasn't earned
my leash for singles wrestling yet. You know, where it's like someone like Cesaro, where it's like, oh, my God, you know, I know he's going to win, but let me see what he does. Because he's always going to do something good. You know, where I know that, you know, some of my friends are still apt to fail when they cook.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing where I feel as if, you know, it's funny because WWE never does subtle. So when Ashley, you know, who will be hopefully joining us for Money in the Bank, was arguing with me that they don't need to spell everything out because sometimes WWE can do subtle things, I laughed at her. I love you, honey. I laughed at you. Because WWE doesn't do, like, they just throw it out there, like, at your face, just aimed right at your freaking nose, right? So in this case, had they left out that last thing where it's like, so is Roman Reigns in or not? And then it's like, Vicky must have let him in. That would have been really cool. That would have been a pop moment where it's just, oh, my God, he's in. But what we had to sit there and think was, he'll be in right after the commercial break. You know? It was obvious. And, of course, because he was, you know, the promos were there all night for him to get in, I mean, that's why I think it would have been cool. I understand maybe a shitty swerve, but it would have been cool had he been able to lose to Rusev, either through interference, because, you know, technically you can't be DQ'd, through interference or something. He now loses to Rusev where, you know, I mean, Rusev is getting his push or whatever, but it didn't happen. He beat Rusev, which was crazy. But again, the crowd lost it. And had that been the main event, this Raw may have been better.
Yeah, and
in my
to
eyes.
Be fair, it was not a bad match per se, you know.
No,
there were pretty good spots in said match.
Yes. But not at all. But, you know, it wasn't bad at all. And speaking of Rusev turns, I can't believe I almost forgot about this. Remember when Rusev and Adam Rose looked at each other and they gave each other that weird look before, like, doing the, you know, getting out of the ring and doing the crowd surf? I was so nervous because they gave each other this look, and I thought, is Adam Rose going to turn heel? Are they going to do a suicide dive on the Exotic Express? And immediately now, next week, just Adam Rose is a heel? Because I'm wondering, I'm thinking, is WWE not going to care to the point where they'll hire Vince Rusev again? Will that happen? You know, we don't know.
I don't know.
No, I
really hope not. All as much as you're joking.
Yes, I really hope not. But also, I love Bo Dallas. You know, before we move on to Cena, I love Bo. The fact that he sided with heel Barrett is great because it tries to show you, no, he's a heel, don't cheer for him. So he sides with Barrett and then hugs him. I was just so excited. I was so happy. Also, I have a question. When he, I believe, when Bo first appeared, because yes, everyone, he actually had a run once before. Did he feuded with Barrett, right?
Barrett and JBL, I think, at the time.
JBL, that's funny. But yeah, that's really cool. I'm just wondering. Also, I'm wondering if after if after Bo took that spear, I'm wondering if he went backstage and his brother just walked up to him. You are part of the roster now. You are one of us.
One of us. of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, hey, Reigns won clearly. Did not expect that. And moving forward, quickly, I'm sorry to meant you know, to you know to have your Queen Paige match be talked about quickly. But I don't know. I think the Funkadactyls need new music. I mean, Brodus has been released. Come on, what are we doing here? If Ambrose gets new music, the Funkadactyls and you know and his people are still here. The Funkadactyls should be changed. Also, I'm sorry. I know you think Paige looked good tonight, and I'm not saying that she didn't, but I felt as if this match was a piss break based on what WWE is trying to give us.
It sort of was, but we got this double-headed one in a weird way because I don't know how we were supposed to act to Stardust.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough. Actually, I think we were supposed to be – I think we were supposed to cheer or do something. I think that – I think they severely – which I'm worried because I hope they don't cut him because of how the fans reacted because – but before Stardust, I think we were given a piss break even though we shouldn't have been because – and I also think the issue is that they were given Cameron, who she's getting better, but she isn't any Paige versus Emma, you know,
right.
situation where I think we need – you know. I can't wait until we get more call-ups because if they don't fire Bayley, I know that's a weird sentence, but again, we're all like thinking, well, if Kevin Dunn really wants to get to Triple H, he'll fire Bayley, you know. So if they don't fire Bayley and we get Bayley and Charlotte called up, honestly, we can push away some of the Bellas and the Funkadactyls. Even though the Funkadactyls aren't even that bad, they're just. I can't sit here and say, and I know I can't say this for pretty much all of the roster right now, other than maybe Emma. I can't sit here and say Cameron should definitely be our Divas champion after beating Paige. You know, no, never. You know, and that's the problem. Where they really don't have anyone, I think, right now who could be a contender. I mean, we've had Alicia Fox, but I mean, she kind of had a downward, you know, spiral, in my opinion,
correct.
Where she's kind of becoming a bit more stale with her craziness, and she wasn't even on Raw this week.
Right now, we got some Fandango and Layla, and we got our Paige and Cameron.
Yeah. But I mean, Summer Rae is another one, I think, who hopefully after this feud she can go after the title because she's, I think, one of the best divas on the roster right now who has never gotten a shot at it, which is very upsetting because I think she can definitely go, and they really need to realize that where, you know, she isn't just a valet who's turned into a wrestler. You know, when she was with Fandango doing that little valet thing but then also fighting, she had some of her best work, I think, because we didn't expect that from her. At least anyone who didn't see NXT did not expect that from her. So they need to jump with that. They really do. But anyway, so sorry, but moving forward, what did you think about Stardust?
What did I think about Stardust?
Yes.
He grew on me as I started to adapt on it. No, because it was like...
Yeah.
At first, I didn't know what the hell was going on. Before Stardust,
right.
I was sitting there like, what the hell are they doing? Because
yeah.
I didn't hear any rumors about any new guy coming up. So I was sitting there like, what in God's name is actually happening here?
Yeah.
And I see Stardust, this little Titantron thing, and I'm like, all right, so they got a local guy? And at first I thought it was a local guy, and then the camera zooms in, and I was like, wow, that's Cody. That's weird.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like this at all. And then the match happened, and he looked solid. He botched the Diamond Dust type move, but, you know, that's debauched. He was probably excited because he was very flamboyant and very deliberate in his movements in the match, which was interesting. And then I think I started liking it. I don't know when it hit me, but it's just I started liking it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing where it's just, I didn't know because, okay, this is the thing. As I mentioned a bit before, and I'll expand on it, if it sucks if only because this is a great gimmick. I think this is a great gimmick, and it's a great outfit, and it's great makeup, it's great everything that could be wasted if they, let's say next week, they have a match together, or at the next pay-per-view they have a match together, and they lose, and then Cody becomes extremely distraught and then turns heel or something, right? Where it's like,
I want this to be a thing now, where we have Stardust and Goldust.
I want this to be a thing for
really
a very long
be a
time.
Thing. Because that will at least give Cody some revitalized sense of, like, belonging. You know, give him something to do.
Yes, and it's just, and what's great about it is that, I mean, he like many of the people who have sadly been recently been told to dance like puppets, like, you know, Sandow and Slater, he brings such energy to this role that I felt as if he wanted to do this for years. You know, I felt as if everything else that he's done up until now, he was actually extremely dissatisfied with until he got the chance to put on the makeup that his brother used to wear, that he probably saw his brother when he was a kid, you know, be on TV with this makeup. I feel as if he's happy now, as if he's happier than he's ever been in this makeup because of all the things that he does with it, where it literally felt as if, like with, like with Roman Reigns and The Rock, where Cody said, you know what, screw it. If I'm going to have to be my brother, I'm going to watch things on the network that he was in and just sat there and just watched his brother on the network, you know, and just studied all of his moves and things like this.
Yeah, no,
the
movements were extremely entertaining in terms of, like, the way he maneuvered and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to come from this at all. But if they dedicate themselves to it, it's going to be worthwhile.
It's sad because with the way, you know, the way that they have, like, what we call shotgun booking, where, you know, it's just, oh, well, this didn't work, you know, get it away. Hopefully the crowd doesn't persuade them to take it away, because sadly the crowd did not enjoy this, in my opinion. The crowd was just more, what they could do is they could flip it, where they could say the crowd was stunned, and hopefully that will be there.
The crowd was stunned, because I also don't think all of them got it at first.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. They couldn't see that it was Cody, so they're like, oh, it's some person. You idiot, it's Cody Rhodes. You know?
Right.
Maybe.
The smile
on his
face, though, as Stardust, was kind of simultaneously creepy and cool at the same time.
Yes. Also, he had the, what did he have on it? Was it the star on his hand when he did the star?
Yes, when he put his hands together, there was an actual star.
Exactly. I mean, everything about him, I think, was just, they gave him a lot, and I think that he has a lot to work with now, and I'm really hoping, but the reason why I say that the crowd didn't like it is because, and this happened, so you have to go back and look, because I know you said you didn't hear him. There were Curtis Axel chants. When there's Curtis Axel chants, that makes me worried. Same thing with Jack Swagger, where it was Jack Swagger versus Big E. When there's Jack Swagger chance, even though it was We the People, which is an over thing, but it was still Jack Swagger, though. This is when I think this was when Cesaro wasn't with, you know, them anymore, or at the very least he wasn't in the match. When it's Swagger versus Big E and Swagger's getting chance, you get worried. So when it's Curtis Axel versus someone and that he's getting chance, that other guy must not be over. And it worries me because I'm really hoping. I know that there are people who are negative in every single fandom, but I'm really hoping that this homophobia, you know, isn't in, you know, the crowds that kind of.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was part of it, if the flamboyancy was a little bit too much for them.
Yeah.
Like a la Rico kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not what it is because they've moved away from, you know, from Goldust being a, you know, a cross-dressing this or that. They moved away from that. Goldust is just weird, you know. He's just weird, and he likes face paint. You know, that's what they've gotten rid of the wig, even though I like the wig, but I understand why. They've gotten rid of the wig. They've gotten rid of the robe. You know, they've gotten rid of all that stuff. It's just Goldust being weird, and in this case, it's Cody emulating his older brother. You know, that I'm hoping that's what they stick with. They don't do anything. So, but again, the crowds, I'm hoping not. They're a little shitty, where you're going to have people like Adam Rose not be cheered because of their flamboyancy, even though it's funny. It's not him being a homosexual. Because there's nothing funny about being a homosexual. You know, it's not about him being that. It's about him just, you know, being fun and loosey-goosey, if you will, you know, and just very, just, you know, like carefree. So he doesn't care.
Right.
Doesn't really come up that this is weird, or if it's weird, yeah, but it doesn't come up that this is wrong, because there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm really hoping that, sadly, either the people aren't, you know, booing or not cheering because they think it's wrong, or that the WWE hasn't gotten to them where they're just like, oh yeah, John Cena's the main eventer because look at how big and strong and muscled he is, and he's a man. But then look at Goldust and Cody Rhodes. Like, no, I'm hoping that's not what happens here.
I really hope that's not what happens. But
no.
Speaking of John, we can touch on the last part of the night.
Yeah. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, huh, they didn't talk about John Cena a lot in the main event. We didn't have to. I mean,
Yeah, we didn't have to the main event because Again, with the, I think this was, again, why the crowd was so dead for it. They were happy with Cena winning, which kind of bothered me because I was like, oh, I guess smart crowd. But it was the same thing with the Roman Reigns match. First off, I think they were dead because they did a lot of cheering for Roman Reigns. But secondly, it was just, what did you really think would happen?
Here's the thing. I know it might seem weird that they cheered for John, but I would like to also mention that, are they really going to cheer for Kane in general? I mean, if you were there, and I know maybe you had to make a choice, would you really be starting Let's Go Kane chants? I think the most you'd be chanting for is the second Ambrose came out. Yeah, go Ambrose!
Yeah, the entire Matt psychology bothered me because it just was meant to make, again, Cena look like some kind of superhuman. And then when interference happened, the announcer just like, oh, that's it. Kane just has to drag him after an RKO. Cena was fine.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know, there's a lot of problems, I think. And I think another thing, a thing that I, you know, did have a problem with, actually, I was really happy when he threw the steps at Kane. Because guess what? You see, WWE, that makes sense. It's the team in Kane. You know, that's not Bray Wyatt. You aren't a god. You're a normal human being. Why are you stabbing me, John? You know, just because thug life. You know, like, don't stab him, John. He's a human being. But this is Kane. Kane, honestly, light him on fire. Constantly, just constantly walk around with kerosene and a lighter. Just light him on fire.
Yeah, because based on storyline, he should be fine.
Oh yeah. Exactly. So I was, and also, by the way, I love him. Glenn, his real name, love him. He slid.
Mm-hmm.
He slid so far, I thought this is great. You know, that was great. And, but hey, as you mentioned, the interference, I expected that. That wasn't new to me. I was shocked. I don't know how. I was shocked at Cena losing with the interference because I thought they would try to put their own corporate guy in there because he would be the one that would lose anyway. Because you put in John Cena, and now we have some wild cards in here, you know, which I will admit does make a good pay-per-view match. I will say that much because, you know, you have people saying Roman Reigns. You have other people. You have rumors saying Bray Wyatt. But now you have John Cena in here, and logic dictates that John Cena wins everything. Like,
yeah,
I think there's a slight chance that if John Cena wins this match, he may also gain the United States Championship. That hasn't been confirmed yet, but I'm pretty sure that if he wins this, I'm pretty sure if John Cena wins this match, he will also claim the Intercontinental Championships, and then the Usos will just bequeath those. Say, you know what, you deserve the tag team titles, John.
And they're going to deactivate the inactive European title and bestow it on John.
Exactly.
In a two-hour ceremony on Raw.
And Cesaro will come up with Paul Heyman, and Cesaro will just be, you know, the way he is with all of his, you know, everything, but he will shake John Cena's hand and he go, John, I respect you. And Paul Heyman would go, you have to understand something. My client only won a battle royale. My other client only beat The Undertaker. But when you look at the career of someone like John Cena, and then Paul Heyman for the rest of the night will just be going on and on about John Cena's many accomplishments. John Cena started on the potty when he was only 2 years old. You know, it'll be something of wonder and it would be really bad.
This is your life, colon John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. But seriously, though, it wasn't as predictable as I thought, but, you know, the match itself with Cena and Kane, but there was some things here and there that obviously you knew were going to happen. Like, you know, I knew Cena was going to win, but with certain things I thought, maybe not. You know, maybe, because again, while they love making John Cena win, sometimes they do like making him suffer. They do. Remember 2013? He did not have a good year, quote-unquote. Or was it 2012? Sorry.
I hate
remember
you.
That
I really
one year?
Hope you're being sarcastic.
No, remember the year that he actually really got a lot of losses? I forgot which. I believe it was the transition, maybe, between 2012 and 2013. Am I wrong? I remember there was a time when John Cena did get a decent amount of losses on his record. I forget because my mind is going. I'm getting old. It was when they were doing the Slammies, and they were like, who had the worst year? And I think John Cena did not have a good year. He was like, he lost his title, he lost this and that and this and that. Can you remind me about what year this was, Satish?
It doesn't exist.
It does. Yes.
John
does.
Cena having a bad year is like a fallacy of the English language. It doesn't actually, you can't say that.
Okay, fair enough then. A bad couple months. When did John Cena have a bad couple of months?
In your dreams.
No, John Cena doesn't... Okay, I will admit, John Cena, upon his recent return, has gotten a bit too much, but he didn't even win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Give it a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's a scary thing. Believe me, that's a scary thing. Don't even fuck with me there. That's scary. All right, that's frightening. Like, I'm terrified right now. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, ghosts and Satan and everything could pop up right now and just say your life is a lie and we're taking you to hell. And before I go down, I'll ask them, is John Cena going to win the Money in the Bank on Sunday? Because that's all that would really concern me. Not this Sunday, mind you, the 29th, but it would still concern me. But seriously, though, before we head off, I would like to mention that Jerry Lawler, another quote, because sometimes we'll quote them when they do really well. Jerry Lawler said, as John Cena was picking up Kane, it's like lifting Thor's hammer, getting him up. Jerry Lawler, when did you watch Thor? You know, I mean, really, Jerry, did you watch Thor the day of? Tonight, like just today, and just thought, I'm going to reference Thor for the kids. You know,
I thought that was an old people reference. Did you watch Thor when it happened? Is your social security number one?
Exactly.
Were you around when black people couldn't drink from the same water fountains? Like that kind of thing. I thought that's what you were going with that.
I wonder if that's why Jerry feels awkward when he's commenting on certain
matches.
How
old is Jerry?
I'll look that up right now. Is Maddie here to help us tonight, or has she taken the night off?
She actually got really frustrated with Raw tonight and gave up.
Really?
Yeah, she hated Raw. She was very much against the whole Roman Reigns spiking Stephanie's shrink thing.
Oh, well, fair point. I agree. But really, so is she actually listening to the podcast right now, or did she just give up?
I believe she's listening, but she's not available for her.
Oh, fair enough. Well, don't worry. Before we have to cut ourselves off, but as I'm looking up King's Age, I would like to say, thank you guys for listening to those guys. I mean, the fact that you've been sitting here with us for 2 hours, sometimes hearing us bitch, sometimes hearing us have some fun, it's nice. It's good.
Yeah, I don't know about you though. I'm pretty burnt out tonight because there's just a lot of stuff to get through and.
No, it was. I mean, it was a very interesting Raw. I mean, again, I'm not at all saying it was an A+, that he was even a B+. But I mean, honestly, B, C+, I think it was in that range. But yeah, I think the problem is, you're right though. Roman Reigns spiking her drink could be something. I'm really upset that she left then because there was some more stuff. I mean, hey, Roman Reigns won. I mean, sadly though, yes, it was kind of a given, which is an issue. But, I mean, things happened, I understand.
He's 64. Though. Maddie actually just texted me because she is
still
listening.
Damn, I was about to look up.
How
slow
are you that she was able to tune in?
My internet's slow, though. I typed
our
it in checker's a minute
wonderful.
Ago.
All right, so Lola's 64, which with this being,
right.
Give or take, that means he was born in about, what, the 50s?
1949.
Lola was born in 1949?
Yeah.
That doesn't make mathematical. Wait, really?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah. He was around in the territory days.
Wow.
Yeah. He was the Memphis champion. In the territory days.
Maddie
did see
the Battle Royale, and she was really happy because Roman Reigns is cute.
Good. Well, he is.
But she was very disappointed in his tactics earlier in the night because,
I agree.
Stuff that
I agree.
That I said, I think.
Oh,
but
of course.
We were sharing a brain there. Although, I don't think she likes Stardust as much as I do, which hurts.
But that's the thing. I understand completely. I mean, hell, you may even think that this is, like I said, if they stick with this is great. But if this is a one-off, that's really bad because I enjoy Stardust and someone else. I mean, hell, Cody wasn't bad before. So
that is the thing where it's like, what are they really doing? I mean, if they stick with this, I guess it'll be cool because they're giving Cody something to do. And I was complaining for a while that they let the Rhodes Brothers thing burn out so much that they need to relight a fire for it to work.
Right.
And this
could be said fire. Right, exactly. I agree. This fire should burn. This fire burns. But anyway,
you're not getting that song.
I really love everyone. If I make subtle references, he'll give me music based on my subtle reference. But I don't mean to sometimes. I was really hoping this would be one. But anyway, we have to sign off. So, you know, again, thank you guys for listening to those guys. I'm Matt Marrero. Like us on Facebook. You know, we do a lot of different shows and a lot of different things. You know, this week we're going to be doing a Dragon Ball Z show. Sadly, not with Satish Ram, but Dragon Ball Z show based on some of the movies. You know, another comic book show, This Week in Comics. Definitely Sunday we should be doing another rumor mill, which is great because a lot of rumors. No! I'm speaking! Oh, but that must have just been in my head then. Okay, cool. So yeah, so I want to thank you guys. Thank you all. And yeah, we're going to be signing off. All right, Satish, anything else you have to say before we sign off? I hate you so much. Thank you guys.